as you can see, I got four over here and four over here. And I want us to try to, we don't do this, but I want us to try to gather up in groups. So I want eight groups, but I want the groups to not just have a bunch of adults, but I want some of the groups to have some students and some adults, younger adults, older adults. And so can we do that in the next 30 seconds? Ready, set, break. Don't pick up these pieces of paper yet. Just find a group, and let's have a group, one right there, two, maybe three in the back, four, five, six. And if we can create another group. All right. See, the smart ones already quickly put their hands up, and they said, I'm not moving, but we can have a group right here. That's a smart people. If we can have a group right here in this first or second row. Janine, don't have to move. Right there. First and second row. And so this is how we're going to do it, ladies and gentlemen. We need to have groups to where there's at least two rows. That way you're not screaming at each other. I need a group over here so we can get two rows and two rows here and then two rows back there. So you five right there or six right there. That's good. That's good. We need a group over here. You guys right here in the second row, that's good. Can I get another group right over here? Christine and Shar are coming over here. All right. Hey, Noah, you want to go over there? There's too many teenagers over here. All right. All right, you got a group here. All right, so one, two. Okay, you need somebody over there? They need some people over there. You want to sit over there? Alice and Billy, right over there, right in the middle. All right. Okay, so now this is what I need. Okay, got one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. All right, seven's good. Seven's good. The guys in the sound room, they can stay there or be a part of a group after. I only have a couple of slides. They can be group eight. All right, so what I'd like is a team member from each group to come up and just grab one random sheet of paper off the stage. Now, on the stage, you'll find a piece of paper. Some will be different. Okay, so there is a passage of scripture, and there's some questions. So I'm going to go ahead and share some things, and then I'm going to say, group discussion, begin, and then you can have group discussion, okay? So for those of you that have Nehemiah chapter 1, tell everybody in your group, you can go to your Bibles, go to your phone, go all the way there. For those of you that are at Psalm 142, tell everybody in your group, go to Psalm 142, that way everybody will be ready with their respective scripture verses, so that here in a few moments, we're going to begin group discussion. So once I get you guys organized, then I will start. Don't start reading yet. Don't start doing the group discussions. All right? So, if I can have slide one, please. Now, I want us to focus on these two prayers. Now, why do I say these two prayers? Because these two individuals, one is Nehemiah, the other one is David, they're talking to God. And I want us to be reminded that prayer is talking to God. It's a conversation with God. Prayer is not just one way, it's two-way street. We speak, we listen. We speak, we listen, and it's always good that whatever we're speaking, if we're pouring our hearts out to God, it's always important that we remember, or we should learn to know, what does God say about what I'm complaining about, or what I am in pain for, or what I am going through. It is very important that we understand, what did God talk about? What did God say about this? Because a lot of times, if we talk to God, let's just say of a certain situation in the world, we're talking to God because it's dire, it's important to us. If we don't know what God's word says, or what God is wanting to do, or God's desire, we're going to still be without any solution. And if that comes to pass, where you end up having a situation you don't know what to do, as parents, there are situations that you don't know what to do, and you have no solution, and you got to go to Scripture to find out. God, what do I do with an unruly child? God, what do I do with an unruly child who's a grown-up and he's my spouse? God, what do I do with an unruly family member? God, what do I do with a boss who is wicked to the core and drives me up the wall, and I am just feeling humiliated every time I go to work? God, what do I do? And we go to Scripture. And so you might have to go to Scripture in some of these questions. So let's just go Nehemiah chapter 1. Now, I know for those of you that have Nehemiah's prayer, I'm going to be reading that, but I want you guys to go and read that again when we go to group discussion. So I'm going to read Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 5. Nehemiah says this: O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God. Notice who he knows who he's talking to. I like this. O Lord, God of heaven. And remember, he is sad. He's distraught. He's devastated because of the news of his hometown. The news of his hometown. It really just gets a hold of him and what he finds out. It's not just his hometown, it's God's city. So he says, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands. Listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying day and night and day for your people Israel. I confess that we have sinned. You want to write in your Bibles, underline that. We have sinned. Not they. Look at them, God. Them idiots over there. They are the ones that are. No. He says, we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. We have sinned terribly by not obeying the commands, decrees, and regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses. Please remember what you told your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful to me, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands and live by them, then even if you are exiled to the ends of the earth, I will bring you back to the place I have chosen for my name to be honored. Oh, what hope. Verse 10. The people you rescued by your great power and strong hand are your servants. O Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those who delight in honoring you. Please grant me success today by making the king favorable to me. Put it into his heart to be kind to me. If you want to write in your Bibles right there, God's favor. Okay? Now, as reading this, man, wouldn't it be great if our next president would say that when he's being inaugurated and saying, we have sinned against you, God, calling out to the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and unfailing love. Man, that would be a great, great, I wouldn't say speech, but it would be a great prayer, but to be spoken in an inauguration. Now, with this prayer of Nehemiah's prayer, we can relate to this prayer. Say what? Yes. There are lots of things that you and I can relate to this prayer if we are in a completely different situation. Whatever you might be going through that is dire, we can look to this prayer and pull out things. Man, I can, yes, this is, yes, God, you look down and see me praying night and day for my family, for the lost of Camden, like Janine was mentioning. And so so I wanted to share this because in Nehemiah's prayer, we can actually see how we can pray this, how you can pray this over your family, your children, how you could pray this over the people of your neighborhood. Now, I think it'd be a good idea. They might think you're crazy. But if whether you memorize this prayer or you just walk down the street and you just started saying this prayer out loud. But praying, you know, and just asking for God's favor in what he is leading you to do, leading you to win the lost, leading you to win the people where you work, leading you to win your family, leading you to take the gospel message to this world. So at this time, I'm going to say this one thing, and then we're going to break into group discussion. Now, the other people that are not reading Nehemiah, they're reading Isaiah 42, which is David's prayer time. And I'm going to read just a couple of scriptures. King David says this in Psalm 142 in the New Living Translation. I cry out to the Lord. I plead for the Lord's mercy. I pour out my complaints before him and tell him all my troubles. When I am overwhelmed, you alone know the way I should run. Wherever I go, my enemies have set traps for me. I look for someone to come and help me, but no one gives me a passing thought. No one will help me. No one cares a bit what happens to me. Now, I'm not sure how many of you have ever felt that, but can you put slide 2, please? I'm not sure how many of you have ever felt this way or even cried out to God in some form or fashion, but David was known as a man after God's own heart. You see, Nehemiah, in his prayer, he wasn't planning to be a bystander in this dire situation. And King David, as he was calling out to God. Now, King David was known as a worshiper, a warrior. But here we find out he sends his complaints. Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 13, and I wanted to read this because I really thought that it said in Psalm that David was a man after God's own heart. Now, it's in 1 Samuel chapter 13, and it's also in Acts chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, it says, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart." Now, Samuel's speaking here, and he says that God has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commands thee. Acts chapter 13, verse 22, King James Version. It says, "And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave their testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." I'm not sure about you, but that would be a great recognition to receive from anybody, but more importantly, God, that you would be a man or woman after God's own heart. And when we complain or when we have dire issues, we need to learn how to go to God and not just vent and just out of worry and then just walk away, but to know who we're talking to know what is available, and to know God's desired end result. And we find that in Scripture. So, at this time, I would like for you to go to group discussion. Those of you read Nehemiah, those of you read Psalm 142, and I would like to have someone, whoever wants to, can go ahead and lead by those questions. And so we'll do that here, and we'll take about 10 minutes, and then we'll go ahead and I'll have some closing remarks, and then we'll pray. Amen. Okay. I'm going to give just one more minute. Let you guys know we're about to close here, and I just have a couple more things to close. One more minute. All right. I hope that you've learned some good things, some good experiences from each person. You'd be more than welcome to stick around and keep talking about that. I wanted to use these two passages of prayer, and these two passages of prayer were calling out to God for His direction, for His help, for His favor. And so, again, like I mentioned before, Nehemiah wasn't planning to be a bystander in this dire situation for Jerusalem. He wasn't just addressing the problem. He wasn't crying about the damages of his hometown. He was willing to become an active part in rebuilding God's city. So that's why some of the questions had to relate with what's going on in our city. What needs do you see? What problems do you see that we have in this area? And yes, there's a lot of things that you can, see that's wrong, and what can you do about it? As I read from my Bible notes last week on Nehemiah, it says that you'll find that there are many people who will complain about anything and everything. Can I hear an amen? Yeah. All right. So you'll find those people. They'll complain about anything and everything. And the point is to reveal the problems without them being a part of the solution. That's where you get the complainers, the people who they call Monday quarterbacks. They will reveal the problem, but they have no part in being a part of this. They have no desire to be a part of the solution. They want to put the blame on others, but not see their responsibility to act. Nehemiah, he was placing the responsibility on himself, like I asked you to do, underline we. He wasn't putting the blame on others. The word complaining in the noun definition is the expression of dissatisfaction or annoyance about something, but you have no desire to do anything about it. Some might say, well, I really want to do something about it. That's why I'm complaining about this situation. But there are people who are bystanders. The definition of bystander is a person who is present at an event or incident but does not take part. In our situation, and I feel like what God was sharing this just a little while ago about Philippians chapter 2, and that it is God's will and good pleasure to use each and every single one of us for what complaint or what problem we see going on in our world. Bring it a little closer to home, in our county, or maybe even in this church, bringing it even more closer. What complaints do you have? What do you see that's wrong? It's good to voice it out, but voice it out with the intention of being a part of the solution, with the intent of saying, hey, God, forgive us. But there are people that have been coming in to visit our church, and I forgot so-and-so. I didn't even get their name. Did you get her name? Well, you know what? I really need, I'm going to really try to get a conversation and spark up a conversation with that person. Because seriously, it is difficult sometimes when people come and they quickly slip out, and it's like, oh, I hope someone, in my head, I'm saying, I hope someone has made connections with them. I hope someone gave them a visitor bag. If you didn't know what a visitor bag, it's that blue bag in the back. And if you'll ask Mary, she'll show you where the rest of them are, and Usher, they'll show you where they're at. But make sure a visitor gets one of those blue bags. Make sure that they get a visitor's card. And sometimes, this has happened before, I'll give it to them, a visitor card, and say, hey, I would love to have some information on you. They don't fill it out. I can't force them, but I pray that I wish somebody would, and so this is what I'm praying, you know. And so, but this is important, that understanding that we have a direct line of communication to the Father because of Jesus through God's Holy Spirit, and that because of that, this should give us a sense of great appreciation and responsibility. God, I can play a part in solving that solution. I can play a part in making sure that doesn't happen again. You see, King David, he didn't have a complainer's attitude, although sometimes it might sound like he complained. But I love how he always turned the complaint around to know who the one that he was going to look up to, who the one where his source of strength would be, who the one that he was going to take refuge in. And so again, there's no time to complain or become a bystander. The need is great. Where we have to make Jesus known, because there is a dying world, people that are dying and going into eternity without knowing Jesus. The need is great because God wants to use you to be a part, to play a special part in His kingdom, to build up the church, and to see that the lost would come to know Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come to you and we thank you. I thank you, God, that just for a short few minutes, Lord, we can focus on these two prayers and their hearts being broken. One, because of what happened to Jerusalem. The other, because, well, David said that he felt like that he's calling out and no one hears and no one's paying attention, and he feels alone. Lord, I just pray, Father, that you'll help us to see where we can take the responsibility and take this role that you want to play in us, that you want to play with us, Lord. Help us to take this seriously, Lord, that we can talk to you. We have a direct communication to you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And so, Father, I pray that when we look to you, we won't come across as we won't become bystanders. And we won't come across like we're complainers with not wanting to be a part of the solution. But if, Lord, you can take my hands, you can take my mouth, take my feet, whatever you want to do, Lord, do so in me. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.